Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 164. I got nothing special.
Huh?
We're back in our normal places. I was informed that because we sat in the wrong chairs last time, messed everything up, the dynamic was all wrong.
Our feng shui was off.
Yes, yes. So we're back in the appropriate seats, although we had to push Adams a little further away. But
that was by design, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The corner, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Okay. Pat, what do you got?
There's a little bit of news. A lot of it is centered on casting stuff. Steve Trevor was cast for the Suicide Squad movie. It's going to be Scott Eastwood. Arthur Darvill was cast as Rip Hunter on the potential Arrow spinoff. Sierra Renee, who I guess does a lot of Broadway stuff, was cast as Hawkgirl.
Perfect.
I don't know.
She's a person. So
yeah, she's a person.
She should
so
be
I
able to play.
Works.
Better than a cat. Yeah.
They also cast Killer Croc for the Suicide Squad movie. And I forget the actor's name, but I know he was Curse in Thor: The Dark World. And he was Adebisi on Oz.
Yeah.
And he has to wear the hat as Killer Croc.
No.
Yes. There's going to be a Batman 66 animated movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
Everyone's
really?
Been waiting for
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to have Adam West and Burt Ward doing the voices. And I read today...
Who else would that?
Julie Newmar. Okay. I'm trying to think. I don't think anyone else is even alive.
I think the Riddler's still alive.
No, the Riddler's dead.
Did he?
Yeah, the Riddler's actually from
that,
Pittsburgh.
I knew he was in that... you remember they did like a reunion show a while back?
No.
Yeah, they did a
Frank Gorshin
show where they
name.
Tried to redo some of the show episodes and stuff, and they played. I don't think they played Batman and Robin, but they were like Adam West and that. And they were kidnapped by all these characters from it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because Cesar Romero's dead. Burgess Meredith is dead.
Yeah.
Damn you, Clever Lang.
Yeah. Vincent Price is dead. John Astin's still alive. He was like the fake Riddler for one episode. I forget what they called him. Oh. The Question or something like.
Maybe that's who it was on that.
Oh.
I don't know.
They released a picture of the Deadpool costume for the Deadpool movie. And it actually looks comic accurate.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And did you see the news a couple hours ago? Apparently, it got the R rating.
Yeah, I saw that. Because originally, earlier today, they had announced it was
PG-13.
And then they did a skit with Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
To show that it was R and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
A skit with Mario Lopez?
Yeah, because he does extra or access Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, there were Slater references.
Slater.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I heard about the Suicide Squad movie was they were casting someone else, possibly for the King Shark role.
Yeah, that one I don't like. I don't like King Shark.
Well, that's a lot of people in this movie that don't, aren't necessarily going to be part of the team. Now, when they did the Assault on Arkham, the Batman Assault on Arkham movie, they had King Shark as part of the team.
Maybe you'll just see them like in cells.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Like a quick cameo and that's it.
But the other thing could happen, could not, was they were talking about, different looks for Harley and how Harley may not be Harley in this movie. At least not till the end. It may end up being she's Harleen Quinzel and then, kind of progress through it. We know the Joker's going to make an appearance in it, and maybe, it shows her progression.
She could be therapist, too.
The only problem I have with that is that, I don't want to see a Suicide Squad movie that isn't the Suicide Squad. Like, I don't want to see her doing therapy the whole time. Although, her doing therapy with the Joker, at least for a short amount of the movie, could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, to see the, like... progression of her, you know, going that way.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about the actress playing her, but I watched Wolf of Wall Street the other night, mm-hmm. and she's in that.
Yeah.
And, like, after that, I'm pretty much sold. On it, just because she's doing, like, a...
Because of the acting or her wardrobe?
No, the acting, because, like, her doing, like, that Brooklyn accent
yeah.
through the movie. And, I mean, she just, alongside the other, you know, people in the movie, her pretty... established actor, she did a fine job, I think.
Yeah, and I was...
Like, at first I thought she was cast just because of what you're looking at.
Yeah. More than what she's going to look like, the accent has to be right. Because yeah. Harley's had so many different looks between mm-hmm. the animated series and, you know, the Arkham video games and what they're doing in the comics with her. But you got to have the accent. And if yeah. she can do that, then I'm sold. The spinoff to The Walking Dead showed its first promo.
I'm not excited about this show at all.
The only thing that I'm potentially excited about is if it shows kind of what started this. Because
but Kirkman's been so, like, staunch in the idea that he wouldn't tell anyone, like, how it came about.
But basically what I thought Kirkman always said was basically it wasn't necessarily important to the story, like it just happened. Yeah.
No, and it may not be important to Rick's story in that group, but this doesn't have a comic with years of storylines to...
But it still is the same universe, so anything they're doing there is going to affect the main... At least how people perceive the main
yeah.
show.
Yes, it will, but it's set in the early days of the outbreak. So
the zombies are fresher?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to have more 28...
The knife can't just punch through the skull?
No, they're not that soft.
Okay.
I did love on the finale when Daryl went all Ghost Rider and used the chain.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
But I think that has potential if they go that route and kind of explore that side of it. Because... I mean, you don't need two shows where they're just trying to survive and run from zombies.
Yeah.
That's not really interesting or, you know, the humans are really, you know, the enemy. Okay, we have a show that does that and does that, at least on the finales, very well. I mean, some of the other episodes, not so much.
Have the zombies this season seemed, like, stronger than previous seasons? Like, the scene with Noah specifically, it seemed like they ripped his stomach open like it was made of tissue paper. Like, his guts were spilled instantly.
They always did that, though.
Like,
They
did that with the horse.
Dale.
They did it with Dale,
like,
too.
I felt like there was a little bit more work. I mean, they always tore them to pieces, but I feel like it took a little more time before where this was just, like, instantly, like...
Psh, he was just, like, butter.
Like you're opening a present.
And Noah was made of butter.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that about Dale when we originally saw that, because, like, they seemed like it just cut.
Yeah, he just went, like, right in.
But, like, people were trying to explain that through, well, they have bone fingers, so, like, the skin isn't soft. I was like, come on. Well, bone fingers are still going to cut through you? Like, you're made of...
They fall apart so easily whenever they attack them, so it doesn't make sense that they...
I think some of the special effects are a little...
Well, some of them are made just to be...
They made changes this year to some of the special effects, and I don't think it's for the better. Speaking of Dale, you would make a good Dale for, like, cosplay.
Halloween?
Yeah, you could do that. You're Dale.
Okay.
You need to get the RV.
I have to get the RV and the hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could always just say the RV is out parked somewhere else.
Okay, fair enough.
But you
so I
got to
get
hat.
A hat?
Get the okay. hat.
Just have an RV parked on the...
Watch it be really easy for him to get the hat. Because he's just like, I've always wanted to be Dale.
Let me get the hat.
They finally said it.
Shane, you're being too extreme.
I'm accepted as Dale now.
I have it in my bag over here.
He's like, oh. I always keep my Dale costume in my book bag.
Sandy makes me keep it at the store.
He still lets us in.
Yeah.
Surprising.
That's it for...
He wonders at himself.
That's it for news?
That's it for news.
God, come on. There's more news than that.
There
right?
had to be something. Have there been any new comic announcements or anything?
Yeah.
Nothing?
I was busy with work this week.
What did we do? I feel like we, like, attacked Pat until he was just like...
Not at all.
I couldn't do anything. I'm sorry.
No, there may have been.
No,
I
don't...
And I'll tell you, anything that came out today, I wouldn't have put
believe,
in there.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for news.
Okay.
TV shows?
Yeah.
I love the silence.
We need to talk about, Flash.
Yes. Yeah. Flash, they really need to step up their game. I really think the last few episodes have really been, you know, weak.
Wish something would happen.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's happening. They're not making any reveals.
Well,
it's just
the
same
now
old,
where they're
same
casting
old.
Clowny actors from the original show.
I know. Like, they can't find anybody new?
And then try to make connections to their portrayal in the previous show too. Give me a break.
And not even that, and then they're like referring to other roles that they had.
I wish they would focus more on the relationship between Iris and Barry, because that's really the meat of the show.
I agree.
That's the heart of the show.
I wish there was some fan service.
Yeah,
you know, just
a
little bit.
They don't care about their fans.
No.
Well, obviously. No. That's obvious.
It's, you know, I made
Flash was great!
In case you didn't realize, that was sarcasm.
What? No. No, it's been outstanding. I don't know, everything.
Yeah.
From the reverse Flash.
Your listeners are like, what just happened? Did I just have a show?
No, from the reverse Flash revealing himself to Cisco and then killing Cisco and then him not getting killed, but that's okay. But yeah, now you have
but
the heartbreaking.
Amazing, you can have a whole show, you're engaged in a show for, you know, 59 minutes and 40 seconds, the last 20 seconds of the show, they completely say none of that really matters anymore, and you're not mad about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most shows, I'd be throwing something at the TV.
Yeah, the only part I was mad about is there should have been two Barry Allens then coexisting in that time frame.
I agree with that.
At least until
at least
he went back in time again.
Really, at the beginning of the episode, they showed
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they established
he
saw another Flash running.
So he should have seen another one there, should have
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Okay,
you know,
big complaints. Way to go.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, just sure, now you have the... No, but now you have the thing where, you know, he knows it, in one reality, Iris told him, and then now she doesn't, and it's just... so that's kind of fun.
I gotta wonder how that... Iris. You know, at the end of last night's episode where... he reveals himself to Eddie.
Yeah, I didn't get
love that part.
But
no,
because it the week before it was, yes. Oh, he has lightning.
He has electric psychosis. What is that what they call it? Electric
lightning psychosis.
Lightning psychosis. Yeah.
Yeah, and then now he's the Flash. So that kind of threw that out the window a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, I think there has to be conflict with him and Eddie anyway.
Yeah, but there was no reason to reveal.
Yeah, no, that didn't make sense.
No, the whole... I mean,
you
I
know
get...
what, the episode sucked. I take back what I said.
Or did it, you know?
Now I'm going to go back in time and change what I just did.
Yeah.
But no,
you
I think
to run
my,
outside.
My favorite thing of that whole episode was when Mark Hamill said to the other one, I am
your
father.
Yeah.
I'm just like...
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Awesome.
When he first started talking, you know, when he was in the cell... My first thing is, he's going a little too Joker.
Yeah.
And then as it started progressing, I was like...
But the character itself originally was... it was the first... He did that first before Joker, and then he
adapted. So
Joker
probably built on that.
Yeah, I've listened to him in interviews talk about this, where basically he was... I'm pretty sure that one was first, and then he adapted the Joker, but what he did was he added a little more of the laughter in there, but he didn't just do ha-ha-ha-ha's, like, he did ha-ho and all sorts of, to throw it all over the place, and that's how he kind of, he's a little more intense as the Joker, but it's very similar, but he did use that for the Joker.
I heard someone else say, like, his voice in last night's episode was like, Joker meets Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
which
that's
is a pretty
what it
good
was.
Way to
I mean, that's the best way.
Yeah, and I would also throw Skips from regular show in there, because I heard that a couple times too, and I'm like,
yeah, I was.
Can you disguise it a little bit?
Yeah.
But he was great. Like, he was.
Yeah.
Great villain. Did a great job, you know, reprising his character, and I like how he tied back to.
It's almost like you could have seen that
portrayal.
In a comic book.
Yeah,
you could have seen that play out.
It was.
In a comic book.
It was a very comic booky villain. But it worked very well, and it still was, like, kind of dark.
Even his scheme was very comic book-esque. He was just like, you all drank poison. Now look at your glasses, and on the bottom you can empty your bank accounts.
But it worked, though. Like,
it
didn't
come
across
just
as cheesy at all.
It worked really well. And the Harrison Wells stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
That wasn't a season finale, was it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Didn't it seem like a season
the
finale?
The last two episodes could have been season finale.
Yeah, so I'm really like, well, supposedly we're going to see Grodd by the end.
Yeah.
That's what they showed in the preview that was recently.
And they showed Sisko with the vibe glasses. And it's the next episode is basically a Justice League episode, which was great because I'm like, okay, I'll wait 2 weeks to get to see, you know, Arrow, the Flash, Firestorm, the Atom all team up. Like we have the Justice League.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you know they don't even need the Supergirl to come in to do that.
It's a Supergirl.
Not looking forward to that show.
No, it's not that. I don't know how they're really going to tie that into the universe that they're developing.
Wishy-washy on that. They won't commit to saying either way.
It seems kind of odd being that
we don't have a Superman, and you're just going to have a Supergirl all of a sudden.
They cast Dean Cain, man. Maybe he'll
reprise
his role. Okay.
As an older Superman to a younger Supergirl.
Sick right there.
You didn't like the Dean Cain Superman?
No.
I actually liked Dean Cain Superman, but I recognized that he wasn't
for
Clark
what it
Kent.
Was, it was fine.
Bring in Tom Welling, let him do it.
You just ruined it.
You didn't hear that story?
No.
He might show up in Flash, is it?
Yeah.
It was like an alternate universe.
So if they go the Flashpoint route.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Tom Welling, yeah.
If they went the Flashpoint route, though, they could have Brandon Routh be Superman.
Man, if they went to a different universe and suddenly he...
the multiverse, he's just like, wait, I was Superman here or what? Yeah, his head would explode.
Yeah.
What a recovery from that movie. Like, I didn't mind that movie. But
He
got panned pretty bad for...
He got banned for what I don't think was his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
He wasn't the worst.
That whole movie was an homage to Donner's Superman movies.
Yeah.
That's not the actor's fault. Like, Kevin Spacey's a great actor. But he was playing Gene
Hackman's Lex Luthor, yeah.
Yeah, and as to bring him in as playing basically Christopher Reeves, I didn't think it was that bad.
He did a good job.
Because I think he fit into the role.
The only actor that didn't do... a great job, just because I think she was miscast. Was
Kate Bosworth?
Yeah.
Kevin.
You mean the 20-year-old playing a world-renowned?
Well, I mean the current Lois isn't that much older.
No, but with a 5-year-old kid.
You know what's funny? Like the only thing is that like Kevin Spacey was awesome in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, playing that role, and not just as the Gene Hackman role, but as playing a Lex Luthor, and now seeing him in House of Cards playing Frank Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to see him as Lex Luthor. But more than Jesse Eisenberg, because I haven't seen it yet of what he can do.
Yeah.
But, like, Kevin Spacey, you know, would be awesome as that part. But, like, it's not going to happen because he was in that movie. That's the end of that.
It was just the writing for the movie.
I think it was. There's a lot of the ideas. Like, the kid shouldn't exist.
But the movie itself, like, I don't think it was terrible. I think the actors did a bad job.
That's my biggest complaint with people, like, ragging on DC movies because of them being too dark, and then DC gave them light movies.
Yeah,
they gave them Superman Returns, they gave them Green Lantern. They didn't want that, and I don't necessarily want that.
You could say they were light movies, but not done right.
Yeah, I could say that, but it's just like I don't know. They don't want a humorous Green Lantern, you know. Well.
I don't think that's why that movie got panned.
A lot of people said that they didn't like Ryan Reynolds as.
Well, then they don't know the character
well.
Of Hal Jordan. Then.
Yeah. Well, all these people that go in, they want everything to be really serious because they take what they do serious.
Yeah.
And their hobby serious, and like I look at it as like it's comic books. These things were created for kids before. Okay, that's just what. They grew into.
The problem is we never grew up.
Yeah, we were expecting so much out of what, or you know, everybody's saying their childhood is ruined, which I don't even understand what that means.
Because they went back and took all those books.
They went back in time
and they burned them all.
They reverse flashed and went back in time, screwed up your childhood. That's what reverse flash does. Screws up childhoods.
You don't have any back issues or anything here. They're
no,
all gone.
I'm sorry. Once they change anything, they all disappear.
Reverse flash, right? As when you were a kid. You remember the yellow blur that showed up and stole your comic books?
That guy.
But I don't know. I'm looking forward. Well, you know, I don't want to go too much into that movie because that could lead us into.
Yeah, but just,
I'm looking forward to the movie.
We're watching last week's Arrow, and I'm like, after all these years, Brandon Routh is finally flying around as a superhero in a DC property again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because right now, he pretty much is just
like him as that character, though.
An armored Superman.
I was going to call him Pimp. As Palmer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Palmer. Get those mixed up. What do you have to say about anything, Colin?
Nothing.
Well, come on. We want to hear your opinion on the TV shows.
iZombie, I think, has started strong. I don't know if anybody else is watching.
Yeah, I've liked the first two. Second episode yet.
A lot of ramen. A lot of brains.
Yeah.
A lot of hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, it's effective because even I know it's not really brains, just seeing it, I'm like, ugh.
Is she obsessed with red? Did anybody else notice that she seems obsessed with the color red? Not just from the stealing of the klepto thing, because me and Colin were talking about that, and he brought up how the other person was a klepto.
Yeah.
Okay, but everything she seems to have is red. She was wearing red. Her iPad is red. Everything she was stealing, red. She's coming after Colin next.
Red is a predominant color on that shelf up there.
That's because nobody wants those magic bags that are red.
Well, I thought when she stole the red stapler that the police guy was just going to burn down the building.
you can't have my stapler.
But instead he just... Oh, no, he wasn't...
I don't know, but I kind of noticed that, and I was just like, it seems like there's a lot of red usage on that, which might be just a color choice that they're trying to use.
Mm-hmm. No, I noticed it as well.
Yeah,
but I only seen the first episode, I thought maybe it was just something with the brain that she...
ate. And that's the hot sauce, that's red.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're obsessed on it.
A lot of red.
Lighten up.
You're obsessed with red.
I mean, you're wearing multiple shades of red, too.
That's because this is flashing. He only wears red. Not, shut up, Colin.
He wears blue in the future.
Jerk. I'll buy mine.
Flash wears blue in the future.
Man. Just sitting here.
That's the problem. You need to be more interactive with us.
Yeah, you're just sitting here.
You need to control this lunacy.
This is your podcast.
There's no way to control this lunacy.
We are one clown short of Arkham right now.
True.
And you're not in charge.
True. Okay. So I think that's enough TV stuff, but...
You don't want to do the previews.
We just want to do Marvel previews, since it just showed up.
Yeah, we did the previews last week.
We did previews last week.
Brilliant.
Now they're not mint.
Now they'll never resell.
You dropped like 10. Can't sell those now. Got to give them away for free. Come down and get your free coffee.
Previews. With every comic book purchase. Reach.
You don't get one, see?
That's right, he doesn't contribute anyway.
Look how sad he looks now.
Come pick it up off the floor.
Flip the table. And...
That's what you get for putting wrestling on Mondays. I'm going to flip the table.
Yeah. As we're getting ready for Tuesday night to get ready, I put on Raw, so we're all pumped up. Yeah. So the Marvel previews came out, so now we can devote just to Marvel previews. And I love the cover. Just in the sense that it's clearly the professor.
Yes.
You must have watched a lot of Gilligan's Island.
I never would have looked at that and thought immediately
after all these years.
It wasn't immediate. I was looking at it going, who is that?
It's the professor and Marianne.
Yeah, well, it's the
professor. Marianne's on the other side.
No. But then somebody told me, yes, he does use...
Ginger's Thor.
No, yeah. He does use the professor. Alex Ross uses the professor as his model for Mr. Fantastic.
Thor is Marianne.
Yeah, but then you got Christopher Lloyd down at the bottom.
That is Christopher Lloyd.
I still think it's a love child of Christopher Lloyd and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the
who's
eyes.
It,
yeah.
Who's it supposed to be exactly?
I don't know. Someone from the Ultimate Universe, so I have no clue.
Jim?
We'll call him Jim.
Jim?
Creepy Jim.
Reverend Jim.
Okay. So, we have Secret Wars 3 and 4, and I just love the entire solicit for Secret Wars 3 is All the Devils Dance, and the entire solicit for 4 is All the Angels Sing, so, take that for what it's worth.
That makes me want to buy 8 copies.
Did you use the map of this?
Yeah, we're going to get a copy of the map, yes.
I thought it was a board game.
So then in Last Days, we've added Silver Surfer and Ms. Marvel to the Last Days grouping.
I can't believe the Silver Surfer's made it to issue 13.
And Black Widow and the Punisher. I think we already had Magneto, Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, and Loki. So, Battle World, we have some new ones. We have Thor's, which is basically the Green Lantern Corps. Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. Not quite sure how that's supposed to work. Because I'm going to say the robots could probably take out the zombies pretty easy.
Yeah, because the zombies can't eat the robots.
Yeah. But I don't know. We do have books called Zombies versus Robots, so I think they're making fun of that.
Apocalypses, I guess? Because one's like a robot apocalypse. The
wouldn't
other
they be Apocalypse?
Apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't be Apocalypses.
Now, one interesting one, we have Runaways with Noelle Stevenson. She's the one doing Lumberjanes and is kind of a big name right now. But yeah, it's like, okay, Runaways, but in this Battle World setting, I'm not sure.
They're throwing a lot at us.
What, as we go through this, I'm starting to wonder if it's almost like just a bunch of what ifs.
Yeah.
Like they're revisiting old stories and doing twists on them. Because I just don't see how this can tell one big narrative.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing they're going to have to out, right?
Yeah.
So is that really safe to do something like that?
I don't know. So, yeah, Marvel Zombies number one, Ghost Racers.
So there's two Marvel Zombie books.
Yeah. Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, which looks like it's probably taking over for the Star-Lord book.
Secret Wars
Journal. This is where I started thinking, what if? Because we have Secret Wars Journal. And it's Kraven's last hunt in Killville, and Detective Misty Knight and Paladin are the hunted. Lord Sinister's secret weapon is his top-shelf chef, Matt Murdock. But what happens when Sinister becomes between Murdock and his love, rare food scout, Colectra? It's like, I don't understand this.
There's so much of this I just don't get.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I don't...
And the cover looks like a parody of a bad exploitation movie.
Yeah, it's one of those...
this one.
And then Secret Wars Battle World number 2. Blade is on the trail of dreaded Count Dracula, but not if Howard the Duck has something to say about it. Rising star David Walker of Shaft tells story of the tale of the Daywalker trapped in a city of ducks. It's like, what?
What, the duck?
Is that how Marvel sells Dracula?
Is that what this is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I wonder who demanded this.
First of all, I look at this and I see World of Warcraft, and I look at this and it looks like Land of a Thousand Hulks. Nothing. Nothing of. Yeah. What the hell?
I know. I'm very confused.
And I like to know why they point out the fact that
was
the
Hulk
guy
even
that wrote,
mentioned in that solicit.
Yeah.
Hulk's not even mentioned.
There's like, a thousand of them.
Where's all the ducks?
Yeah. There's not a single. I don't see a duck either.
What is happening to the other cover though with the Iron Man?
Well, that
isn't helping the Marvel.
I'm not trying. I'm just reading the previews. But and then we have now we have Inhumans Adelan Rising. Now I just read the Uncanny Inhumans.
Oh, it's a quiet room.
But it was fine. But it's like, okay, so now we're getting another Inhumans book, but this looks, you know, a mysterious silent man. Well, we all know who that is.
Yeah,
so
he's got a tuning fork.
Cool.
I'm confused. So, okay, and Master of Kung Fu. Okay.
It's very
a book about you.
Yes, yes. And now we get to War Zones. While the Secret Wars rage, the building blocks of a new Marvel universe take form within the war-torn domains that make up Battleworld. The future of Marvel begins here.
Wow. This is
so, 1602, Witch Hunter Angela. Because you demanded so much Angela, we're doing one and working her into 1602, which I guess makes sense in the sense that she was created by Neil Gaiman. He created Marvel 1602.
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, but
how much demand is there going to be for this? Angela, as much as they want her to be a fan favorite,
is not
a fan favorite.
Besides, she would be more the witch than a witch hunter. Yeah.
That's true.
And I'm sorry, I'm not up on code. What does TL semicolon DR mean?
Too long, didn't read.
Down to...
Okay.
No, yeah, that's it. It's too long, really? Didn't read. So that's supposed to sum
it's
up.
Oh, it's telling you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't read that.
Oh, that's
just
really
do this.
A thing?
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
I had to look it up. Because I saw that. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Spider-Man is my, like, thing.
Yes.
I don't
Amazing Spider-Man, renew your vows.
Who's Spider-Man?
Luckily, there are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 covers.
That you won't be getting.
Well, yeah, I probably, you know, I didn't look up to see what they were. But they're doing Gwen variants this month. I forgot to look for them, but hang on. Because they're, yeah. Like, on Secret Wars 3, we have Dr. Gwenge. And then on Secret Wars 4, we have a Gwengers. I'm not making this up. Honest to goodness.
Yeah, that really does say a Gwenger.
Black Widow has a Black Wids Gwen variant. I'm not making it. We have a Gwenito variant for Magneto.
Why not?
We have a Cap Gwen America variant for Captain America and the Mighty Avengers.
Wow.
I'm not making this
Gwen
up.
Gwendusa.
Thor's, we have a Gwen of Thunder variant. For Age of Ultron. Nope. Sorry. Well, there were like 8 variants on that. I had to look through the titles quickly. Oh, on Ultimate End 2, there's a Brian Michael Gwendis variant.
That's pretty good, actually. I'll give him that one.
You'll give him that one? Okay.
That's interesting.
Ghost Rider has a Slade cover. I don't know how that... What's Slade about that? Okay. Let's see. Inhumans has a Gwendusa variant. Master Kung Fu. 1602 has a Gwendula variant. So.
Squadron Gwenster variant.
Oh, hang on. We're not there yet. Hang on. The Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows. Not even the Amazing Spider-Man is safe from Secret Wars. In this new Marvel Universe, Peter Parker, Mary Jane Watson, and their daughter have to scrape by to make ends meet, but they have each other.
Is there a Gwenderman variant?
No, there's no Gwen variant, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
A-Force.
Oh, yeah.
Issue 2 of A-Force.
She-Hulk's falling off it. Oh.
Yep. Giant-sized Little Marvel, AVX, with Scotty Young book. Weird World, 1 and 2. And now I hate that because that means I have to order number 2 before I see how number 1 did. I hate when they do that. Squadron Sinister. Squadron Gwenister variant. Okay. The 1872 with Sheriff Steve Rogers live in the town of Timely. And it's got Tony Stark and
they're dead.
Bruce Banner. But another one, how do you order this one? A Western? Marvel characters in a what-if Western setting.
Why not?
Okay, so Armor Wars, again, we have to order two of this one.
Same numbers you used for Jonah Hex last month.
Okay, yeah. Last month? Okay.
Yeah.
So we got an Iron Gwen variant for Armor Wars. X-Men 92, I know people are excited about this, based on the cartoon.
I might actually check that one out.
It does have the X-Gwen variant cover by Ryan Stegman.
It's digital first, right?
Yeah, this one's digital first. Oh, yeah, and this one's $4.99. I wasn't even looking at the prices. Yeah, they're kind of all over the place again, I guess. No, most of them seem to be $3.99.
Because they look at what they think's going to sell, then they pop the price up on
them. It wasn't bigger or anything.
Then we got Future Imperfect with an Ingwenable Hulk variant.
Yeah, why not?
Again, we got to order both of those, too. Years of Future Past, which is a take on X-Men Days of Future Past. It doesn't have a Gwen variant, but it has an ant-sized variant
cover.
Yeah,
those are good.
What does that mean?
Because, they, like,
is that just a little
really
inch? Okay, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Because I saw Ant-Man's doing that as well. And it's just like, yeah, we saw it. They sent
movie
it to
poster.
Us. Yeah, we're good, Marvel. It's not like you created that yourself, the joke.
Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commander.
Yeah, that's another one. How do I order this one?
Yeah, that one looks really weird.
Well, that's Deadpool's wife.
Yeah. Right, but it's not.
That looks weird.
It says, in the world that was, she's married to Deadpool, but nothing on Battleworld is quite as it was. It might
so
be Lockheed.
What happens in Battleworld stays in Battleworld.
That's right.
Looks like Lockheed.
Yeah.
So,
wait, no, Lockheed's purple, isn't it?
Then we got Extinction Agenda,
might, yeah.
Which is going back to the 1990 crossover. Old Man Logan with a Gwenverine variant.
Going back to
Extinction.
Like a Ben-Vereen?
That's all new.
Yeah, E for Extinction number 1, written by Chris Burnham.
Yeah.
So, and that's a, that cover is not good. It's like trying to be Frank Quietly, but...
They were trying to go for that.
With their left hand.
That all-new X-Men.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's definitely, that's what it is. It is the, it is the, just the new X-Men, not all-new X-Men.
New X-Men. Yeah.
But again, I'm just like, okay, so they're doing a different spin on this, so is it, again, just a what-if? That's why I'm not quite understanding all these. Korvac Saga, which is basically the old Guardians. Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot. Guardians of Nowhere, where they live on the on Nowhere, the head.
And Angela's back.
And it, this one has a Gwenom variant. Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. Not sure what to make of that.
Oh, that's got an ant-sized variant as well.
Yep.
MODOK Assassin.
MODOK Assassin, 2 of 5. It's like, oh. Okay, what number am I going to be at when we hit 5?
So how long is this thing going on for?
Well, this is just for June.
That's what I'm saying. So that's...
We'll see.
Wait, it looks like then that means it's going to go on for 5 months.
Good question. Any other questions?
Yep. Secret Wars 2099 has a Spider-Gwen 2099 cover. Yeah, Where the Monsters Dwell is a 5-parter. Planet Hulk. Spider-Verse.
I just want Spider-Verse to be over.
Well, and it looks like it's Spider-Gwen and the rest of the Web Warriors.
It's just like, well, that's the thing. Why is it still a thing? Like, it's over.
Yeah, and then we got Deadpool Secret Wars number 2 with a Gwenpool variant cover.
Colin Bunn's
right. The conclusion of Skywalker Strikes on Star Wars 6.
Yep, so now we're into the Star Wars books. And we got Vader 6 and 7 in that month.
Look how menacing he looks.
Menacing. And then we got Groot, which confused me because I thought Groot was going to be a Secret Wars book.
It's not.
It's a regular Marvel Universe book.
I thought there was no more Marvel Universe.
Just with Groot. It's Groot birth.
Groot and the Spider-Woman. Not together. But Howard the Duck.
Interior.
With a Gwen the Duck variant cover.
Loveness of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
There you go. Yep. Guardians team up. So where are we going with that? House of Hem, I can live with that one.
What is House of Hem?
It's Fred Hembeck. Let it go. It's good.
Okay.
We got an Ant-Man book out of the blue. Is it a one-shot? Is it a new one? We don't know.
Kelly Kelly dismissed you. He was like, hey, shut up, Pat.
No. No. No, because I like Fred Hembeck.
I'm not a bully.
I'm not. This is
all
not
new
a
Hawkeye.
Safe place.
All new Hawkeye isn't being affected by Secret Wars. Silk isn't.
We learned by the bullying
Spider-Woman isn't.
You know what,
though? Marvel Comics.
Hawkeye doesn't need to be derailed by an event.
No.
It does it on its own.
So, the books that aren't are... We have Silk, Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, and Amazing Spider-Man 19.1.
What are you talking about, Pet? There's currently 2 Hawkeye books out right now.
Freeze.
Then we got Moon Knight.
Yeah, because the one didn't end 6 months ago.
Bucky Barnes isn't, which it still doesn't make sense to me. If his job is protecting the world, how
he's not doing a good job.
Exactly. And we got Deathlok.
Although,
and
I don't think
Shield.
Bucky could stop the incursion from happening. Two universes colliding might be a little beyond Shield's.
And Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl is not being affected.
Is this Amazing Spider-Man 19.1?
Yes.
Is it
that's
the continuation of that story that was going on? Okay.
Here's my question, though. We're not getting it, but we're not getting a 19.
Why? Because of Battle World?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever?
So it's 0.1 to a book that doesn't exist.
What was the point of that? Why did they just make this a mini-series?
Because it wouldn't sell as well. Yeah.
I just said it was Jerry
so now
Conway,
this
so
is this is one of the strangest things I've seen. So Marvel has a hardcover collection of all the variant covers
Adam's
for Star
buying
Wars.
It, by the way.
What?
Adam's buying it.
Okay. For all the variant covers for Star Wars 1 plus all the covers for Star Wars 2 through 6, Leia 1 through 5, Darth Vader 1 through 6. But it's a $35 hardcover just of covers. It just seems odd.
Some people really like it. You know what, though? That's proof that you can slap Star Wars on anything and people will buy it.
Well, no. It's proof you can slap Star Wars anywhere and try to sell it.
Someone's going to buy that.
It's like, someone might.
You're being
mean. So we got some other stuff. We got a reprint of the old Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
Ooh.
Another $125 omnibus. Come on, guys.
Seriously.
too much.
Come on, guys. Seriously?
What is the $50 stuff? Is that the
Black Vortex?
Is the Star Wars Epic Collection?
I have a bigger problem. Look at that one, though.
The Old Republic.
That's the old Dark Horse stuff. So we have Thor Volume 2, Who Holds the Hammer? And I'm just like, whoa, because it's Thor 6 through 8 in annual number 1. And it's $25 for four issues. It's like, wow.
But you got to pay CM Punk, and he don't come cheap.
Well, but they already paid him, I'm sure.
Wow.
But that's a lot.
How much was the annual? Was that a $6 book or a $10 book or something?
No, it wasn't 10. It might have been $4.99. I don't remember. Sold out of it real quick and couldn't get any more in. But that one just really jumped out at me as being quite pricey.
This Jack Kirby collection.
And then, I'm looking here. Ant-Man collection, Tales to Astonish. Oh, 50. Okay, never mind. More issues than I thought. Never mind. I'll be quiet. Yeah, now they're doing Howard the Duck Complete Collection. They're doing two trades of it that are going to be $70. I'm like, well, the omnibus is $100. I don't know. I mean, I know it's $30 more, but that omnibus is a nice package.
It's $100 field omnibus. It's not horrible.
Werewolf by Night omnibus at $125. Yeah, okay, sure.
Well, maybe you want to see the original appearance of Moon Knight.
Yeah. Not for $125. A little pricey. I will be looking forward to that one as when it's on the clearance sale, and I'll get myself a copy. But I don't do that. So that's about it. Just trades.
Yeah, you got to remember we're being recorded, so you can't give away. I know. You can't give away all my secrets.
I'm not trying to give away all my secrets, but sometimes I take advantage of those for personal reasons. Okay, so that's the Marvel previews. That finishes up our Marvel discussion, or our previews discussion from last week. So why don't we go into books we've read and enjoyed, Pat?
And enjoyed?
Yes.
After all the negativity.
Exactly.
I don't know if I ever want to talk about books anymore.
Okay, well.
Podcast over.
We'll start with The Walking Dead. Michonne returns, and she be a pirate.
I posted on Facebook.
Did you?
The exact thing you just said.
It was a little slow,
Yeah. And it was predictable.
Yeah.
Did she come as a pirate? I was not predicting that.
Well, no, that part wasn't, but the whole,
Psychic Pat over here.
Well, basically, here's the
thing. She kind of looks like a pirate, though.
Read the end of the letter column. He says in it that basically everybody was questioning where these characters were, so he gave you one issue that explained all three of them. Which I guess one was Michonne, one was Ezekiel, and the other one was somebody else. I don't remember, but...
Jesus?
Nah, he's been in the
book. I was going to say, he's been back.
It was somebody else, I just can't remember who. But, yeah, they kind of made that issue for that. I was just like, whatever, just work them into the story. We assume they were alive still. You would have showed us in the most gruesome way if they were dead. So. Fans are too impatient. Quit being impatient.
That must be what it is. The trade talks that Ezekiel and Rick had, I was just waiting for some Jedi to show up and try to mediate that. No, but that... That's boring. That was boring in The Phantom Menace. It's boring. We don't need to see that. Show something happening. Spend time with the Whispers.
Let's see what Jin showed up. That would have been something.
Well, yeah. And then he said, "I have a particular set of skills." But show more of the Whispers. Kind of get inside their heads a little bit. That would have been cool.
She wears the leader. What's her name?
Alpha.
She wears a belt buckle of the what is the symbol called where the snake is eating its tail?
Ouroboro.
Yeah, but she wears it in the shape of the infinity symbol, not the. It's the circle usually.
Uh-huh.
But she wears it as an infinity, which is like an 8.
Yeah,
and I didn't. I was wondering if there was any symbolism behind that for some reason, or what they were doing, because they seem like a cult. They really do. They're really kind of screwed up.
Yeah. Well, and it's definitely set up that something bad's going to happen there. You know, they're going to want Carl back.
They just need to kill off Carl. That was a big problem with that issue, is that, like, I can't stand how they keep making out it was like Carl is some sort of, like, amazing, like, character in this. Like, Sophie, she said, well, this is Carl Grimes we're talking about. Like, yeah, it's Carl Grimes. Well, he's lucky he's still alive.
Yeah, he's been shot a couple times. Maybe
she was sarcastic.
Yeah, she was like, Jesus, Carl Grimes.
This is Carl Grimes we're talking about.
Yeah, if the only thing that happens is he goes off with some herd that's dressed like zombies, it's a pretty slow week for Carl.
Yeah, right? I can't, like... It's like the writer of the book is thinking of Carl Grimes way different than everybody else in the world is thinking of Carl Grimes.
I mean, he got a girl to lick his eye socket.
That's true.
Yeah, but she was wanting to do that. It's not like he was like, lick my eye socket.
Should I move on?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
we'll move on.
That would be a good idea.
Red Lanterns.
Title of the podcast.
Should I move on? Red Lanterns, it was the final issue. Guy is basically having coffee with his sister, and he's telling her how he's completely consumed by the red. And,
he's absorbing all the rage.
He's absorbing all the rage. Earth.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
No, it didn't. The end where somehow Hope falls from the sky and, like, takes all the rage from him, that made no sense whatsoever.
No. That happens every day.
No. I get that in the Future's End books he was part of the Blue Lantern Corps. I'm okay with that. But Hope doesn't just fall out the sky. That doesn't happen. So how did that happen?
It's kind of odd that, like, you're saying that it's almost like they're trying to explain the Future's End book into the main book.
Yeah.
It seems really odd because that's the only book, probably, that they've even tried. Because, like, there's certain things that, like, characters shouldn't even exist.
A few books have tried. I think, like, Swamp Thing was leading it on the path of going towards...
And it depends on how time changes, because whatever happens, which I don't know yet, in Future's End... will change time, I guess, for how it was supposed to be. So some of that stuff shouldn't even happen.
I just would have preferred if they would have dealt with what's the rest of the Red Lantern Corps doing and kind of wrapped that up. Instead, like, we knew what Guy was doing, and, you know he's not going to die. You know, he'll get out of it somehow.
Yeah. It didn't make sense how they were explaining things, what was happening. I mean, it looked good. It was well written, I guess, but the story itself just, like, didn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a little disappointed in that. Flash.
Man, that book had, in my opinion, the best cover of the week. I loved that North by Northwest.
I didn't get a copy of that. It was already sold out by the time I got here.
That one was just great. The Aquaman one was just
the Free Willy.
Hilarious. Yeah.
It's just funny. Yeah, I'd say that was the best looking one, but the funniest one was the Free Willy one. Did you get that one?
No. Oh. But I'm not reading Aquaman, so.
No.
Aquaman's a good book. You should be reading Aquaman.
Yeah. But I'm not. I can't read everything.
Josh, we need to find a new podcast.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If that's all I had to say to get you guys to leave.
If you have an Aquaman podcast out there, let us know. Yeah. We're looking for one.
Think of a title. Bro.
But
Fins with Benefits.
Perfect.
Right. You won it.
You're totally going to start that.
new podcast, Fins with Benefits.
Every topic that Pat brings up, we figure out some way to, like, do that to it. And then he moves on to the next topic.
So, The Flash...
Oh, no, he's not done yet.
It's, Barry returns back to his normal time, and future Barry's able to stop the Overlord. That was really weird, though.
Well, they picked a goofy villain for
that
future Flash to be up against. Because, like, I don't know, I don't buy him as being that huge of a threat to where
he almost... Well, he was, like, where all the cell phone towers were, so that's why he was able to generate all this energy. It was like, I'm sorry. Just one call to Verizon, they shut the tower off, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But then the... Selkirk shows up, and he gets booted back through time where the Reverse Flash is.
Yeah.
So he's, obviously that means he's going to return and I guess after.
The real Reverse Flash.
Yeah. Yeah, Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, he's going to be the threat once DC returns back to the normal stuff after Convergence.
Is he going to remember?
Who?
Like, Zoom. Is he going to remember before Flashpoint?
I would assume
he... would be awesome, because he's the only character who was just kind of... Because he was taken out in that thing.
But see, he also has a different perspective, because him being from the future and then coming back through time, he can see from the outside perspective what happened.
Yeah. That's why I think that would be cool. I've always wanted a character, because I think that would connect the old readers of that are complaining about DC continuity change with the new.
Yeah, bring it together.
Yeah,
somehow.
And having those little things in it. I thought they'd introduce, like, Wally West and stuff like that, but they didn't. They kind of just brought him in and made new characters. But
they brought in Wally West and killed him off.
Well, I think a proper way of doing the whole multiverse thing of how they've always done it since...
future Wally West, right?
Right, yeah.
So, that could change.
Will be, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
But I think it would be cool to, connect it, because we've been doing these multiverse stories since way before even Infinite Crisis, or Crisis on Infinite Earths, that there's always some little connection to the old that you can still stay with. And I think with New 52, it did kind of get people away from that, but it's nothing new from what DC has always done multiverse-wise. They've always kind of had, it changes continuity a little bit, but it updates it a little bit for new readers to jump in. Otherwise, I think it was really hard to jump into DC for a long time. That's why I didn't read DC at all, because if I jumped in, how much history would I have had to know of who it was? So I think that would be really cool if they did after this. And that's what I'm hoping a little bit of Convergence is going to deal with. I really do hope it brings in some of the old stuff a little bit into the new.
Then the end of that, they set up for the with Patty leaving, Barry sitting up for a possible Barry Iris.
Yeah, which I think that was always going to happen anyway.
Yeah. Colin's excited.
It's inevitable.
He's just like, what are they talking about, Colin?
Seven shots.
He's not even listening to you guys. You thought he was talking about when?
No, I knew he wasn't. I knew he was looking at the game.
What do you think, Josh?
I was busy.
Yeah, like a just giving him all up.
He's still trying to figure out Fins with Benefits.
I'm plotting out the structure of the podcast in my head. No, what'd you say? You said, what do I think?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Now we've all forgotten.
Do you want me to rewind?
It's gone. Yeah, rewind the podcast.
The next one was He-Man Eternity War. And this one, it starts off where the last one left, where She-Ra and Hordak are fighting. And He-Man has a conversation with Teela, who basically says that if you remember the toy, Teela came with, like, the snake hood, and it never made any sense. Well, she has that in the book. She's the new sorceress, but she's essentially the sorceress from the Snake Men's time. So what she said is, the Snake Men came first. They had this as their symbol. Then... as man came, you had Zor, who was the eagle, and that was a sorceress from the TV show. But at the same time, there was another one called Horkrath, who was a bat, and that's what the Horde worships. It's like, it's all the same person, it's all the same entity, it's going to destroy the Earth, and this is inevitable that, this happens. So while that's going on, She-Ra and Hordak are fighting to get these gems, and Skeletor shows up and says, haha, I got them.
That's Skeletor.
Yeah. And then he rescues She-Ra.
Right off that car commercial eye.
Yeah, right. That's what he...
Yeah, that's what it is. That, by the way, was the best car commercial.
That was funny. It's just not something you were ever expecting, was it?
No, not at all.
Skeletor to be in a car commercial.
But this Eternity War is pretty interesting, and the thing about it is, it takes stuff from the TV show, but kind of applies different stuff, and it really builds the history of Eternity more than what they did. It made it more interesting than just, you know, He-Man fights, you know, Beast-Man beats him up, and then he gets whipped by Skeletor, and then next week it's Strapjaw, and so it's been a good book.
Do any of you guys watch The Americans?
I used to watch it.
The current season, there's a guy in it, the guy that played Skeletor in the movie.
Frank Langella.
Yeah, Langley. Yeah. Every time I see him on TV, I just immediately in my head, I'm like,
Skeletor.
Scene at the end, you down in the pit.
Yeah, but see, every time I see Dolph Lundgren, I think Ivan Drago, not He-Man.
Yeah, Ivan Drago's more of his...
Nobody thinks Punisher.
No.
No, that movie was horrible.
All those movies were horrible.
You know what I really don't get? Rocky. You know what I don't get about that movie? The Punisher's costume is a damn skull t-shirt. That's all he had to have. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, they really screwed up.
What was the movie that he was in, Dolph Lundgren, where he had some sort of, like, psychological issue with, like, the color of bright white? And he, like, some bad guy got him by, like, dumping a bunch of milk or something on the floor, and he's just laying there in this pool of milk, like,
oh, that's interesting.
Traumatized.
I've never heard of that.
Now I'm gonna have to look that
Josh
up.
Is just making that up.
Well, it could be. It's April 1st. You'll never know if I'm telling the truth or not.
Who knows if anything of this is true?
Yeah.
There's no He-Man book.
There's no Fins with Benefits.
Colin's not actually here. Colin actually likes Marvel.
The next one, I'm probably the only one here that read, was Gem.
You are the only one here that read Gem, I believe.
Yeah. My wife wanted it, and it was sitting there, and so I said, I already got it.
I got it for my wife.
I actually did, but I enjoyed it.
It's like those guys that come in and they get My Little Pony, and they're just like, I'm getting this for my daughter, you know?
No, I read it, and I'll continue to read it.
I used to get flack for that.
It's okay, you can read Gem.
We'll
allow this.
Why, thank you.
The council has spoken.
If this is the council of the wise, right. that's a problem. But going into it, I knew nothing about it. My wife played with the toys when she was a kid. That's why she wanted it. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
I'm just over.
So I just
we're giving you that one.
No. So I picked
He's
it
like
up.
Thinking backstory.
No, not at all. So I picked it up, and you don't have to know anything about the characters from before to follow the story. So essentially you have a girl who's in a band, but she has stage fright. So her father had built this hologram system, and that's what she's going to use to become Gem. So
That's not how holograms work.
Yeah, I know that's not how holograms work, but that's how it works. Because comic books, Adam.
That's not how stage fright works.
Oh, yeah, that's not how that works at all. Your dad just can't make a hologram machine in his basement.
Well, hers can.
Okay.
What if her dad was Tony Stark? Tony Stark could.
He wouldn't have a child.
Yeah.
You never know.
Whoa. Did he claim?
Yeah, he probably has a few, but... But the book itself, it was good. The art was good. The story was easy to follow. And really all it did was set up the characters. So it was good to that point to where someone who knew nothing about it could jump in. Obviously, it's skewed more towards a female viewer, but I'll read it. I don't care. There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing like, oh, okay, this is a
like you're challenged to read it. I don't care. I'll read it.
I'll do it.
You know what?
Man.
I am perfectly secure in my masculinity.
No, you said it like someone challenged you. Like, Colin was like, but you won't read that, Pat.
Is that what happened?
That is what happened. Then
it
he called me.
Like
a, then he called me a jerk.
Mikey will eat it. He eats anything.
Pat will read
so does Gem have powers, or does she?
No.
Okay.
She just, sings.
Does she have
sings.
A villain?
Okay. No.
What kind of comic book?
Bright lights.
It'll
mess up the hologram.
Look.
Oh yeah.
It was a
Green Lanterns.
Yeah. It just set up a story. That's all it did. Right. It introduced you to characters. I'm sure there will be. Suiciders. <It's milk.
laughs> Man, that book, when they were doing all these previews for this book before number one came out, I was not interested at all. Like, that couple pages.
Yeah.
But I kept hearing heard it was good when it first came out, so I picked it up. This book is a huge surprise for me, because 2 issues in, I'm loving it.
Yeah. That was... really was good. Kind of how that was flashing back in time. You know, I liked how they used that. I'm curious to see. So in the first issue, you know, they were just mowing down people that were coming over the wall. And I get, you know, he's a bit bigger, you know, and they could see, well, you know, we can use him for muscle or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I...
Are we still talking about Jim?
Well, no, this guy...
Yeah, it was.
What?
This guy...
Wow.
Wait, is he a hologram?
Yes. Oh.
She's a child, Colin.
A child? Sorry. I just emphasized that off you.
Well, this guy that was on the boat, he wasn't going to, like, the nice half of L.A., he was going to the bad half, so they don't care about, like, who's coming in there.
Well, I would think if they have walls, they still care about who's coming.
The wall's only separating from the good half. Anyone can get to the bad half.
Okay.
You guys changed it up on me.
You gotta follow.
I lost track.
If you put your phone down... Now I'm sounding like I'm talking to my son. Put your phone down and pay attention. Maybe you know what's going on.
Oh, man.
It is on.
He just got a verbal bee slap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Word.
See, he can't even come back.
He's thinking about himself.
he's going to come back and
walk out of here.
The,
you guys. I'm out of here.
But yeah, it was cool getting to see the two different stories with the guy who just arrived and then this angel, the
saint.
Guy. Yeah, or saint, yeah.
Yeah.
The girl had the angel tattoo. That's why angel was sticking out.
Yeah. Yeah, and he kind of...
I don't think he's the one that did that.
No?
No. Because he was asleep naked, and the guy that did that was clothed. So unless he got dressed real quick and then went and did that.
Well, she was snooping around, and I thought that that's
I think
what...
it may have been his, like, manager guy who was...
His handler or whatever. Yeah, it could be.
But I don't think I don't think the saint's the one that.
No, I guess they wouldn't call him a saint if he's going around killing reporters.
Well, I mean, people may not know if he was, but I really don't think it was him that did that.
But that was.
We'll see. But
I think that's.
It was good. I'm really booked good for number three.
Yeah.
Put me down for number three.
Okay, we'll do.
He's not going to remember because like.
Gem three.
You got to get him one first.
Gosh.
Don't give me one.
The hologram.
You got it.
It's not real. It's just a hologram.
And then Darth Vader 3 is probably the other one that I don't know if you guys read.
I read that.
I got it in the back.
Read one and that's it.
Okay.
Colin sold out real quick.
Well, we know Colin
sold
out.
Says they were damaged or something.
No, they weren't damaged. We got shorted.
Yeah.
Or we got allocated. They came today.
You should call them a bottom.
You should have known that and ordered double the amount.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You'll see.
But that was... It was interesting.
It was good.
This Alpha chick... well, he refers to her as doctor, or was that...
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of weird. She was kind of a smartass to him a lot. Mm-hmm. And
he needs her, so...
Yeah, but that's, you know, I would think he would have, you know, what crushed a hand done? Or something like okay. that. Or, you know, like... Let me crush your kneecap. You don't need that to work. But, you know, I guess she's going to go around and build him a droid army.
Correct. That's probably a little better than the droid army.
She'll lose her will to live eventually.
The,
No!
No! She's like, you're
I still did it less time than they did in the movie.
That's true.
Doctor, whatever. I don't know what her name is.
Alpha.
Alpha.
The two droids, the the analogs for C-3PO and R2-D2.
Death droids.
Yeah, I think they're going to be funny.
They were great. That was a great idea.
Best droids ever.
I really enjoyed that.
You still have the same banter like you would have, but it's dark.
I kept having, you know, Anthony Daniels' voice in my head. When he's like, I just imagine him saying, you know, seeing as there's no one here to murder presently, how may I be of further assistance?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That was great.
Oh, I'm not supposed to kill you? Okay.
But you got to do it in Anthony Daniels' voice. Right.
That's a request, Colin.
No.
You don't do requests? No. Oh, well. But, yeah, I mean, I'm liking Darth Vader. I dropped Star Wars, but I'll continue with Darth Vader at least and kind of see where that goes. It seems to be
Star Wars. Are you mad? It's the book of the century.
No, I'm not
mad.
After
the first one.
That's right. So that's why I dropped it.
Did you buy the new one?
No, I didn't. But I'm not watching the Star Wars Rebel show, so I really don't know anything about the character.
It's no Gem in the Holograms, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying.
Cute. No.
You gave me a nasty look last time I did it, so I didn't want to do it again.
Yeah, but he's not involved here.
It's not a very welcoming environment here. No, that's why we're starting a new podcast.
There's a lot of bullying going on.
You needed a name. You have to have a new name.
I don't want to milk the old one.
Fish food. Fish food for thought.
A lot of good contenders here.
Yeah. Okay. Dave?
Daredevil number 14. This is this issue is a major turning point in Matt Murdock's life. Did you read that, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how long it'll last, but
probably not long. It looked interesting.
But Matt decides that he no longer needs to wear a mask. So he walks into court wearing his new costume.
Yeah.
Which is a red and black suit.
With a DD
on his belt buckle.
No sunglasses anymore. And his reasoning was that he was going to he went to his father-in-law who's the publisher of the book that Foggy's Phantom Writing, is that correct?
Yeah, Foggy's Ghostwriting did.
And he he tells him, he's just like, why do you wear the mask? Because his secret identity's out. So he goes about and says, yeah, why do I? So that's why he kind of decides to do the suit. It reminded me of Moon Knight, because he was been wearing the white suit.
Yeah.
And the mask, and that's what it reminded me of, because now it's kind of like this red suit.
Is it colored the same way, though, how it's... Well, no, because it's more...
But very... I mean, it kind of the same way if they colored it in.
Okay.
Not too much shading to it, but that's kind of the art style.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Marcos Martin, but it's like really close to Marcos Martin. Because I think Marcos Martin was working on the book originally with Paulo Rivera.
Yeah.
Which are very similar, but also very different art styles. And they're really cool. That's one of my favorite artists on the book. But no, that's kind of what it reminded me of, was the suit. And
it just seems
they call him Mr. Devil?
Impractical sometimes.
It's going to rip,
because then he starts jumping around the rooftops. And he's a celebrity, so he's taking selfies with everybody now. Everybody knows.
How can he take a selfie?
Well, the girls.
Well, he knows where his face is compared to his arm.
I guess the girls were taking selfies.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, he was just like, there's a camera there, I'm sure. That's just how it worked. We're good.
He takes two pictures. The first click tells him where the camera is. He can adjust it.
This is going to get awful. We need to get off this one.
So then he meets up with the owl's daughter.
The court of owls.
Not the court of owls. The owl. The daughter of the owl.
Owlman?
Jubila.
It's the owl. Yeah, what's her name? But was she involved in the book before that... you remember they did like a...
I've never seen this character
before. Was it an annual? You never saw her?
No. She been
yeah,
around before.
There was that annual or like a I don't know if it was like a 100th issue or not 100th issue, but whatever. It was like a special anniversary.
1.5.
I think it was an anniversary.
Or 1.50.
No, it was like this double sized issue, not too far back, probably last year, and it took place in the future, and Matt had a son now.
I remember
okay.
that.
He's
yeah.
lost a lot of weight
yeah.
and stuff.
No, that'd be wrong.
And he was after, somebody was after him, and he thought it was the owl, and it turned out it was his daughter because of something that happens to the owl.
Well,
so.
You're not sure, at least in this book, you're not sure whether she's has good or bad intentions.
Yeah, so you don't know. At that in that book, she was the new owl.
Was that the last book of the last of the old run?
I don't think it was the last book, no.
I remember what you're talking about.
It was
then.
In that run,
yeah.
though. It was probably close to the end, but I don't think it was the last. But it was like, I could have sworn it was like an anniversary issue.
You may be right. I remember reading it.
I'd have to look. I'll get back to you. I'll look through my Daredevil books and tell you which one that was. But, yeah, they've introduced. It was a good issue, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, showed a little bit of the future. And he was trying to teach his son, who has a lot of fear, how to deal with stuff. And then it had something to do with, like, sensory. That was the problem. The owl created something that made everybody blind. So it was messing with their senses, including his son. So he had to, I feel like it would have come back. It was just a temporary effect, but I don't remember. But it was good. It was a really good issue. I'll figure that out.
So they find, at the end, they find the owl in the subway, down the subway somewhere, and he's all hooked up to all these tubes and wires and everything. And then the Shroud shows up, and we'll see what happens next month. They leave it at that.
No, it's good arc. I just love this run of Daredevil. I think they've done a good job. The only thing is, like, Matt Murdock is a character that, like, cannot have a good run. Like, when things are good are happening, that means something equally, like, bad is going to, or worse, is going to happen.
Yeah, it's just been fun superhero stories. Nothing really horrible
has
happened to him so far.
Whenever he's up, he's, like, almost like Peter Parker. Like, whenever Peter Parker is up,
you know something bad's about to happen.
Yeah, he's about ready to fall. Like, he gets as high as he can go, and then he drops. And then all sorts of stuff happens. And that kind of happened with Dan Slott's run of Spider-Man, because that's when Superior Spider-Man happened. Because he was doing very well, and then all of a sudden, he's not Spider-Man anymore, you know? So that's kind of how you write those two characters. And it always happens to Daredevil, probably worse. Because Daredevil's always having somebody close to him just murdered. Usually it's a...
So the secret to surviving the Marvel universe is staying away from Daredevil.
He became an Avenger, you remember that? He was one of the new Avengers.
Yeah.
They just were like, whatever, we're done with that. That was his bad day then. They kicked him off the Avengers.
Yeah, but really, who isn't an Avenger at this point? I think Angela is the only one that doesn't have the card.
I really think that's the problem with Avengers recently. Is
I think Jem is an Avenger at this point.
What about the hologram? That's her power, holograms. She needs a villain. She doesn't have a villain yet.
You know it's bounder where Dave's initiating.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
You know what?
I read Abigail and the Snowman, so I have no room to talk.
We bust his chops all the time. We call him Beaker and Santa, so I'm due. It's okay.
He was like, wait, those were insults? Those were the nicest characters in the Muppets in life. Santa Claus.
The Muppets in the North Pole?
North Pole? And now you're telling us they were jokes? Now that's when Dave leaves. Dave just gets up and he's like, "I'm done. I'm done."
Screw you guys.
Turns out your compliments were insults.
I do not mean that as a.
I take no offense. I take no offense.
Okay, let's move on to Castaways number one.
We're always watching him. Like, he's just... Everybody's like, oh, crap, I took Colin's book. Like,
no, it's okay. I want to see what Dave...
That's why I left...
And then you'll fill us on what it really is. How good it was.
I'm going to see what you have here, so we don't steal any more of your thunder.
Oh, you can steal my thunder. Just my thunder it, is...
Press everything off. That
yeah, don't worry about my thunder.
So these, I guess there's five
he
of them.
He talks too much anyway.
They've been on Earth. They've been in our present time for a year. And they've all split up into...
Right, they come from 10,000 years in the future.
10,000 years in the future, and they're stranded in our... In 2015, and they kind of scatter to the winds for some reason. And at the beginning of the book, a dragon or something appears in Athens, Greece, and it's from the future, and that's a sign to them that they need to get back together. And this link to the future is there again.
But the other thing is they can't die. Because since they're out of time, time won't let them die. And one of them is trying to kill herself because she can't take it anymore. But yeah, basically they're from the future trying to figure out how to get back to the future in our backwards world with our backwards technology.
So just freeze themselves and wait.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. She was trying to do that. And when all of a sudden, when their like little wrist thing goes off to let them know something's up.
No, I was just thinking of the episode of The Simpsons when Jasper does that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a good book. I think it was interesting.
Yeah, it was good. Scott Collins' art, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Black Hood, number 2, from Dark Circle / Archie Comics. Picks up from last issue where this Philadelphia cop becomes the new Black Hood, and he stops this mugging and he is all hopped up on painkillers, and that I don't know, it's kind of like that gives him the not the power but the want to go out and be the Black Hood, and it's kind of confusing because in the book they plant. Some people is Kingpin, and somebody plants these drugs into his apartment, and the cops come and find it, and he's framed for having these drugs that he didn't. They're the drugs he didn't have there, didn't know he had there, and he gets framed for that. I don't know how anybody found out he was the Black Hood yet, when he just. Started doing it like the day before.
Does that book, is it in the same universe or continuity as the other Archie books? Or is it completely separate?
That'd be awesome if Jughead showed up and Scott was the background.
No, they're coming out with some other Dark Circle books, The Shield and The Fox.
He's turned into a zombie.
But no, it's not in the same.
Actually, he's not.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a large, shared universe. Just less happy.
Yeah, a lot less happy. Kind of a bleak looking book. But the art's good. It's Michael Gatiss on the art. He did Alias. Bendis's Alias. And so it was interesting. It was good. And Darth Vader. And I read Autumn Lands, too.
Apparently I haven't got to because you've sold out of Autumn Lands real quick.
Well, then you should put it on your pull list, and you wouldn't have that problem.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
He's not ready to commit. No.
Too much commitment.
That's it, yeah. Because then I got to come in and tell him, and then he's just like, I'll get to it.
Yeah, it's not like you're not here all the time.
He'll write down gem number 3.
Yeah, and then I'll be like, this isn't right.
On his pad. And
this is what Pat wanted. And we'll be like, oh.
You'll buy 40 copies of Puppet Master or something.
Yeah, right? I'll be like, I seriously didn't do that.
Please?
But it was... It's an amazing looking book. I don't know how they keep the art up every month.
Yeah, it does look nice.
All these naturalistic looking animals. A lot of crazy machinations in this book. I wrote down all the characters' names. Can never remember the characters' names. Sandor's the owl. They finally lock up Garda the warthog.
Yeah.
And Alpha the giraffe, she's the one who was trying to summon the great champion, which she finally did.
I never remember their names. I'm just like, that's the pig. That's the dog. This is the cat. Cat's dead. Cat is dead. That was awful.
And at the end, Seven Scars, the bison, he's getting ready to lead the rest of his bison people to attack.
Yeah.
Attack the other animals.
They're hitting them when they're weak because they just fell out of the sky. So
Yeah.
And they're weak anyways because they don't know how to do anything besides being, like, wise wizards. So, and they're not quick with their magic. Like, their magic is really slow because it takes a lot of, like, incantations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so any attack that they hit them with weapons, it's just, like, they can do it real quick. And that's how that cat wizard died, like in issue, I think, 3 or whatever, because that's when they showed up and they, you know, went after him. And that's when the guy was already summoned, I believe.
This isn't an all-ages book, is it?
No.
Yeah, no, there's some bad language in it. Yeah.
And amongst other nudity.
So. It's animal nudity.
So. Okay.
Not the champion. The champion's the only one that is a human. And that's the only one that I think we've seen that was.
Oh, yeah. He's the only.
All the animals wear clothes, but the people. They're like, forget clothes.
Yeah.
I'm the only person here. I have to wear clothes.
That's all I had to talk about.
It's a really nice looking book. Though.
It's beautiful, yeah.
It really looks nice. It's just, really, I think it's a really hard thing to, like jump into because, who's gonna walk up to that book and be like, "I've been looking for a humanoid animal book before"?
Yeah, I know.
This is my cup of tea here. Then they pick up Gemini.
My turn.
Sure,
Josh's turn.
Sinestro.
Yeah,
11. So that tied up this this arc with the Sinestro Quarry on War World. So it was good. I wasn't too thrilled about this arc at first because I wasn't reading Sinestro before Godhead, but
yeah,
I thought the Godhead tie-ins were really good. So I decided to stay on board since the Lantern line is being trimmed down after Convergence. So the first issue I wasn't too thrilled about, and it has been getting better, and I thought this most recent one was pretty good. The only thing I didn't like about it was that the whole plan seemed predicated on the, you know, thought that, and I forget her name, but that new god.
Yeah, that she was going to
show
up. Would come
and show up. If she didn't show up, like, they would have been screwed. Like,
Sinestro's just a pimp like that. He knows when we come when he calls.
Okay, yeah, any DC character that you consider a pimp.
It would be Sinestro. It would
be Sinestro. Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that his plan would be like,
Sinestro.
I'm going to go in here and get myself captured. And not be able to get out of it, because even if you used Parallax, they had the thing to absorb.
Yeah, and so, it was more her natural god, god ability.
If she didn't show up, they would not have been able to pull that off at all.
I like the end, though, when he got rid of Mongol, but surrounded him in the yellow rings.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I liked seeing that was their whole plan, to get War World as their... Now base of operations.
New Cougar.
Yeah.
Where did they have to? Did they have to go into the Phantom Zone?
No.
So why is he not in the Phantom Zone? When did he get out?
He's
been out a while.
Because he was in it still in Superman Doomed.
I think he got out during Superman Wonder Woman, one of those issues.
Must have been just recently, though.
It was when I was still reading it.
It seems like he's been out.
Doomed, they were going to let him out. He got out.
Stop asking questions. It's comic books.
when he got out of the Phantom Zone and Superman Doomed, he looks and sees what's happening with Brainiac, and he's like, oh, Brainiac's here. He's just like, you know, let's just go back. And he turns around, and they just walk back into the Phantom Zone.
That's right.
So, the whole, in one of the annual stories of Batman and Superman, they take the Phantom Zone and they enlarge it, and they put the entirety of Battle World or War World into the Phantom Zone. So the whole planet, the whole thing, was left in there.
Wasn't he out of the Phantom Zone during this third arc of Batman Superman? Also, whenever they went to War World and had to fight.
Is Batman Superman regular continuity?
I remember one of the kids dies.
I thought that was Earth 2 or whatever.
First arc tied into Earth 2 continuity.
Okay.
I know in one of the annuals, basically, like, Mongol was put into the Phantom Zone first. And then his son takes over, what did I call it? Did I call it Battle World?
No.
Okay.
Not offensive, no.
Okay. Of War World is being run by Mongol's son. And then they need to do something about that, so they put...
What are you cracking up about?
Mongol into... They have to put it into Stop It or something, so they put it into the Phantom Zone.
Mongol just pawned in the Game of Life.
So. Go sit back behind your computer. You're a distraction.
I apologize.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
I'll be quiet.
Regardless of how Mongol's there or why he's there.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
He's not there anymore.
I'm a little curious.
He's in a yellow ring cocoon flying off into space cocoon rocket thing.
Yeah.
He's like a grown up Kal-El flying out to a new world.
But he's like a beacon for whatever the other alien race is that wants to wipe out emotion.
The Pale.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good. The annual was out today.
Yeah.
So see what that is. Like, I thought that was a good ending point for it before we go into Convergence, so...
My guess is they'll probably just establish what's going on War World, or, you know, now it's new Cougar, or whatever they're going to call it.
He's got to be running out of Yellow Lanterns, because this is, like, the third time in not too long that he's sacrificed a bunch of them for some...
Yeah, but that's just kind of his thing, is, you know, they're...
I understand it's his thing, but at some point, like...
Arkillo's, like, the only one that kind of... seems to stay around.
A hand now?
Yeah. But he got a new hand, I thought. Oh, no, he got
the ring.
It was a ring.
The ring
hand. Yeah.
Makes the hand, yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking his daughter's going to end up joining.
I don't know. I think she's going to stay green.
Well, but that's, like, she's, you know, I hate you, you're not my father, but she's spending a lot of time around, and only so much of it can be attributed to, you know, she wants to help because she's a doctor.
Yeah,
at some point,
still,
it's like
she's still.
There's so much
like
going on with the greens,
the ideas of the yellows, and she defends the greens.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why she's there, is more to just keep tabs on what the yellows are doing. I, you know, who knows? Kind of like Guy had to do with the Reds, but he just joined them. You know, maybe that's what ends up happening.
I'm just confused by this cover here.
Oh.
There's a lot of heads floating around. I don't know any of them. So.
You know one.
Yeah,
well,
it's the
Christopher Lloyd one just stares back at you, and I'm just like, why is he here? But then I see, like, not all these people are ultimate characters, so I was just like, why are they
just turn it the other way around, and you don't have to worry about Christopher Lloyd staring at you.
It's awful. I don't know what's going on with that.
Go ahead, Josh.
All right, so Gotham by Midnight. Any of you guys still reading that?
I've gotten behind on that book.
So in the last issue, we saw these demons that they've been up against. They've been trying to draw out the Spectre, and they accomplished that. But as the Spectre is about to, you know, go after them and judge them, they, you know, pleaded the Spectre to judge Gotham instead, based on, I guess, early settlers of Gotham have done or did to them the people that these demons came from centuries ago. So you have, you know, the Spectre, like, standing, you know, above, like, the rest of Gotham, like, this giant, like, Godzilla-sized Spectre against this Godzilla-sized, like, demon, in the process of, like, deciding how to judge Gotham. But it's good. The book is still pretty solid. I think this is the last issue for Temple Smith's art, and then Juan Freya takes over art after Convergence.
How similar is that art?
It's not the same, like, scratchy art. Yeah. It's still, like, very dark.
That wasn't, like, besides myself, like, I accepted it fine, but that art was not accepted very well.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people that are just like, you know, they're just not into it. But I look at it as, I'm like, it fits kind of the
I think that art fits the story.
Yeah.
And in that regard, the art is very well done.
Yeah.
I think the art just on its own, taken out of context, if you just like drew a page in that style, you'd look at it and say, very yeah, stylized,
it
but it's not.
It adds a creepier
great.
Feeling yeah. to it because, like, the first stories, the ones that I read, like with the nun, who was like the ghost who was like
yeah.
supposedly abused kids or something.
Yeah.
That looked really, like, terrifying. Like, mm-hmm. just how they drew her, and
yeah.
she just... It gave it a little more style to the book. But no, I've just heard a lot of people online. I've seen a lot of people criticize that, but, you know, like, a lot of people just criticize
it. Juan Freya's art, it's pretty good. It definitely has a more polished look than this, but it's still very creepy.
Yeah.
Especially, like, look at Volume 1 of Quarter. It's really creepy in that book. It's still been creepy in the current, like, Quarter Bad Seed run, but it was much darker in the first volume of Quarter.
Yeah.
And he's done some covers for, I think, Constantine recently also.
I don't know. I kind of like the style of that book. I think it separates it from the rest of the Bat
books. I do too,
books.
But I think...
I think, you know, because I don't see it as a Bat book. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's the only dark story series that I thought was really decent, because a lot of these darker books that DC has been putting out have really...
It won't be as stylized with the new artist, but I think it'll still fit the tone yeah. and it'll work with the book. But no, it was a good issue. In the end, a sacrifice has to be made to prevent the complete, like, judging of Gotham and millions being killed.
Yeah.
So one of the main characters ends up being sacrificed. But it's been consistently solid book. It's not one you can just flip through. You have to, like, sit down and really read it, because you can get lost in it easily. But
yeah.
that's it's been good. The Valiant came to an end last week with issue 4. So the event miniseries that Valiant's doing right now. And this, so far, like, this is one of my, like, favorite events
okay.
this year, or even with that, including last year. But it is not a happy issue at all.
Okay.
Like, the issue starts off, you're seeing very far in the future with the Eternal Warrior still being around, but it's essentially like this, you know, apocalyptic world, and the immortal enemy is still there, and you can see, like, other main characters from the Valiant universe kind of, like, fused into his body.
And like Brother Eye?
Kind of like Brother Eye, yeah. And the whole point of the future scenes is he's trying to get access to this box, which has been so far kind of like the MacGuffin in the previous issues, where everyone's, you know, clamoring over this box and what's inside of it, but you don't know what it is. So he's trying to do something with it. At first, I thought it was some sort of bomb he was setting off, but because there's this monolith there that ties back to the Archer Armstrong and the origin of those three brothers. But then he sends the box back in time. And the Neville, who heads the Unity team from the MI6 perspective, they manage to crack the code on the box, and this message plays, and they see it's from Galad, the Eternal Warrior, in the future, and he's saying that the only way they can beat the immortal enemy is by using the weapon that's in the box, the last resort, but they have to get Galad there to open up. He's the only one that can open it. So he's en route to try and fight this the enemy, because he's right now Bloodshot and the Geomancer are holed up in this mall. And he wants to go there to fight them, and they have to stop and say, "You've been failing at this for thousands of years. It's time to try something new. This message, it authenticates as being from you." So he goes there and unlocks the box. And it wasn't what you were expecting at all to be inside the box. It ends up being a person that he sent back from the future. But the book, like I said, it does not have a happy ending at all. It's definitely like a gut punch with how the book ends.
What's in the box?
They were advertising it that way.
And it turns
oh, really?
Out
it's, Valiant it's was Galad. Advertising on Twitter with, like, that picture of Brad Pitt. And what's in the box? You'll find out in number 4.
Nice.
But no, there are some big deaths. It definitely sets up for Bloodshot Reborn. I don't want to spoil it, because I hope people pick it up. It's only a 4-issue miniseries. You get the trade when it comes out. But this has been a phenomenal miniseries. Jeff Lemire, Matt Kent, and Paula Rivera have really, like, killed it issue to issue on this. So it's really, I'm excited to see how the rest of the Valiant universe now plays out based on how this sets it up. Aquaman, we mentioned it before for the cover. But this ties up the Maelstrom arc that's been going on, where Aquaman and Mira have tracked down Arthur's mom in this Lana. Yeah, Lana, on this island where she has, I don't want to say refugees from Atlantis, but these people with ties to Atlantis, in terms of they have the history of Atlantis embedded in their psyche, I guess. Which you've been reading the whole arc, haven't you?
Yeah.
Has Lana looked older and older each issue? Yeah. Like the first,
she has.
The first issue you saw her, she looked pretty young, and then she's progressively aged to where she should be at, I guess.
Yeah, it's the art on her was really it changed a lot.
It was a good tie up to this arc. My only complaint is maybe felt a little bit rushed with how it tied things up.
Yeah, I thought that was tied up really quick.
Yeah.
I thought they were, I mean, I guess they're kind of holding it for more story later on, because now we've opened up this entire
Yeah, but there was no reason to have it that rushed, because it was like an 8-issue arc. So they have plenty of time to tell this
story. Yeah, it didn't need to be. But and it also might have been a rush because of Convergence.
Well, I mean, I knew they had the hard, cutoff. Freaking words.
Yeah, they had to be done. But it was good. Like, it.
Mira really, like,
yeah,
took charge and saved the day.
It made sense that she would, because that's how you'd defeat something that was made of lava.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold. So.
Yeah. You still had Lana not wanting to believe that Arthur was who he was.
Yeah.
But at least coming to terms with it a little bit towards the end. You have.
It took her a long time, but she didn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
But, like, for what he was trying to say, like, it made sense. Like, I didn't understand, like, they're like, but he should be dead. It's just like, well, why would you think, why did she think he was dead?
I don't know. Like, because
she would have no reason to think that.
Yeah, like, she kept saying that if he.
They thought that he sent, that's
well, she,
right.
She thought his dad.
They sent, like, assassins after him.
She thought that his dad had died way back.
Yeah. Well, she thought they were both dead.
Yeah.
She said, because your Arthur died. I think it's because of the assassins that they sent to kill them. And mm-hmm. that didn't work. I think it took him out. It killed the dad, right? Those were the assassins who killed his dad, right? And that is that dad. I don't remember. I have to go back
and read.
But it seemed
like she was in the impression that his dad died a lot earlier than when he actually died.
Yeah, I was having a hard time following what. Everything happened.
You know, see, it wasn't bad. I don't want to make it sound like it was a bad book. A lot happened in one issue.
I think it opened up. I think not only did it open, like, that part of the story opened up, but for other stories, I think, like, we have, Gorilla Grodd's now on the loose.
Yeah.
Wherever he is. He was sent to. Where was he sent?
Didn't he.
He didn't that, like it.
Labyrinth.
Though. Yeah, he was sent to the Greek Labyrinth, where all the monsters are sent to or whatever. A whole bunch of stuff, but it opened up some.
It was, I mean, it was a really good arc. Yeah. I think Jeff Parker really found.
You're
like,
right.
Came,
that
came
issue did
own.
Seem kind of rushed. It seemed like that was the end.
Yeah.
Real quick, like there could have been a lot more explained. Also, that David guy died.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that to die.
Yeah.
Like, pretty brutally.
It was pretty
died
brutal.
Too. Yeah.
I think grabbed.
At one point, I thought he got like ripped in half.
I thought so too, but
he wasn't. Just kind of like broken in half.
I feel like they were like, "It's gonna be okay. We'll get doctors." And it's just like, yeah, he's dead.
Your spine's like broken right in half.
I'm looking at my spine is
just a flesh wound. Yeah.
No, he. Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
But yeah, I'm kind of bummed that Colin Bunn's going to be on it now instead of Jeff Parker continuing on it.
What isn't he doing at this point?
He's doing everything. And it's, I feel like his stuff's hit or miss. Like, he knocks some stuff out of the park and other things.
He has a tough job, though, to come into. Because, like, they did a good job making the transition from Jeff Johns into that.
And that's, we're
and
seeing.
That's really how you save a DC book. You bring Jeff Johns in, he saves it for a little bit, but you can't keep him on it forever. You have to bring somebody who's going to transition.
At least,
and
like, with that, he was on for a while before he jumped off. And, I mean, we've seen a few of these transitions where it could have gone very wrong, like with Swamp Thing when Charles Soule took over.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That could have went wrong. Jeff Parker taking over Aquaman.
Yeah, I think Green Lanterns.
Yeah, Green Lantern. Turn over to Robert Venditti.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen to Superman. Because, like, Superman's been fairly decent.
Yeah, for one arc.
Yeah, and then that. We probably talked about Superman last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, do we have another Superman next week already?
No.
We're all in Convergence now.
Yeah.
No, but there's still Batman 40 has to come out.
Yeah, that's coming out at the end of the month. I think part of it is they have until June, really, to come out with them, so they're not going to rush them.
Oh.
Yeah. No Superman next
week. Okay. And the last one I'll mention, so Colin has a couple of other ones on his list.
Me. Don't worry about my list. Nobody wants to hear me.
Batman and Robin 40?
Yeah.
That was, I thought, a really good issue.
Yeah.
So essentially, it picks up where 39 left off. You have the Justice League going off on this mission to Japan, Hashima Island. And it was interesting, so whenever they started off the issue, I'm like, I know where that place is at. And then it made sense why they picked...
Was that the place from the last James Bond movie, the Skyfall, where he was, like, holding base? It was
I'm not
like
sure.
An island that was used for it was, like, it was, nuclear testing or a nuclear attack, I guess.
The history of it, it was... I want to say Mitsubishi had, like, mining there.
Now he's just making up work.
They had mining there, and then when they closed the mines, they abandoned it overnight. So it's just all these structures still, and people, like, left stuff behind, but it's like a ghost, ghost town island.
Okay.
But so the Justice League goes there, and you have, like, Wonder Woman intercept them and come along, and it's all very, like, you know, jovial and jokey, and they go against this massive threat, and you see Damian really, like, taking charge and being very tactical and strategizing and working with, you know, Shazam and Batman.
Superman,
yeah. And they're, you know...
RoboCop.
Like, the banter between Damian
Terminator.
And... between Damian and Superman talking about, like, the different powers they both have and the heat vision eyes and whatnot. But they're going against this giant, like, robotic threat, and you... Towards the beginning, you see Batman say, you know... It's not alive at all. It's just a, you know, purely robotic. So don't hold back at all. Give it everything
that
you have.
Robot? It was used before, though.
I forget what they said it was.
Yeah, but, like, in the end, you find out Cyborg was
running
the whole time because they had it, like, Argus had it or something.
Yeah, so Cyborg was piloting it from the satellite.
I think it was used at something before, and then that's why we should have known it, but I'll have to go back and look at that.
Why would Cyborg have to use, like, joysticks to control it, though?
Because that looked awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it did look awesome, but do you think Cyborg could just, like, link to it and
he had, like,
control
the,
it?
For the same reason the Ghostbusters used the NES Advantage for the control, the Statue of Liberty. It's the same reason.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you can't argue that. I mean,
which, that's the second time in a week I've heard a reference to the NES Advantage for Ghostbusters.
I just found my NES Advantage too, so that's why I came up.
I'm just amazed.
In case I need to control any statues, I have it.
That's right.
But you also need ooze.
You need pink slime, yeah.
Pink slime, yeah.
So the way it's playing out, like, right, you have a feeling something's going on here, that it's not a real threat, and then it's confirmed once you see Cyborg is piloting this creature they're up against. So there's Batman's idea was... Batman's idea was to try and have Damian go full force with his powers to hopefully drain him of them.
And, like, it was like a real 50-50 chance.
It was. But it was fun how it played out, like, when they're back at the manor and they're eating, and all of a sudden Damian just, like, falls asleep drooling on himself while they're eating. And the conversation with Alfred.
Would you like that?
Hmm?
No. Like seeing a kid falling asleep drooling on himself?
I mean, poor I remember when Adele was younger, there were times when she was eating and would just fall asleep, and I'd look over and she'd be like, there with a plate of food, like,
yeah.
And I took a picture and sent it to Debbie. I mean, it was kind of funny.
You posted on
the drugs worked.
You're like, look at this. This is
you
ridiculous.
Know you've done it.
Benadryl, parent's best friend.
So then when Damian wakes up next morning, he finds out that he doesn't have the powers anymore, and he, you know, calls for Bruce, says there's a problem, but, you know, Bruce tells me he's kind of happy they're gone. But did he, you know... was proud of how tactical he was and how
it's funny
he went about the
first thing he decides to do is fly, and he jumps out the window.
Yeah.
And he's just hanging there. What does he say to him? He's like, good morning. And he's just like,
we have a problem, father.
We have a problem, father, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good. They kind of tied up the whole superpower thing rather quickly to the point where I almost thought, what was the
but
point?
But they said it throughout the issue. They kept figuring, or through this arc, that they kept figuring out, like, that he was losing them. Like,
but the solicit for the Damian book that's coming out after Convergence talks about, like, this year of bloodshed, and he's kind of on his own because of something he did where there was a divide between him and Bruce. So I thought maybe with his powers, he kind of went too far.
Does Bruce know what he did with the clones?
Give him an island?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
That might be what it is.
I think he does. Didn't they tie back that he knew what he was doing, but they decided to hold back?
I think that they knew he was at... Because I remember him and Alfred had the conversation, but I don't know if he knew... No, that's right, because he had the GPS, so he did know.
Yeah.
That's right.
It does. It sounds like a reality TV show. Clone Island. You'd watch it, Colin.
Pitch to Fox.
He watches that Big Brother.
With Flavor Flav.
You watch Big Brother?
I do. I love
it. Clone Island, Big Brother. That's what they'll call it. It'll be all the Damien clones, all the drama.
And Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. Isn't he a Damien clone anyway?
Probably. Yeah, boy!
He's a messed up Damien clone anyway, so...
The only thing with this book, it's another thing just like Sinestro where an annual came out today where I kind of thought it was tied up nicely.
Yeah,
that was really a good end to the series right there, that last page where it had him and Batman swinging.
Yeah, and Batman... Smiling.
Yeah.
Or Damien taking out the portrait and finishing it, too, of the... Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that, too. What's wrong, Father? Well, you're smiling.
Yeah. But it was good. It was a good issue.
Makes him sound like, we make him, Damien, sound like some sort of weird horror villain. Like, he's just like, so what is the matter, Father? You know? He does kind of sound, and then that's, I just kept commenting, like, when Damien was dead, Batman kept doing that.
Yeah.
You're up, Mr. McMahon.
Okay, Batman Eternal. Nobody read that?
I was saving it for you.
Yeah,
we're saving it for me. But, so the bad guy is revealed, and it's not who anybody thought. It was Clue Master. which basically worked because...
He was revealed 2 issues ago.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Colin.
Didn't you read it?
He was monologuing.
Well, I've already read 52, so I'm always having to try to go back.
Dave hasn't read it in detail.
He read it through osmosis.
Oh, okay.
Or somebody similar.
It was good. 52, not to give anything away, but I thought it was wrapped up awesomely.
It was a perfect ending for that book, I think.
Yeah.
You can't give anything away from that issue?
We could say spoiler.
No, but I just think overall it wrapped up.
No, 51.
We're talking about the brand new one.
Yeah.
That you learned about last week.
I can't separate anymore. It's all blurring together. But the one that ended today really wrapped all the storylines up satisfactorily. I don't think anything was left hanging. Future's End, there's a lot left hanging. So.
I thought that was intentional, though.
It might be, but it wasn't nearly as satisfying as the end of Batman Eternal. So.
Okay.
Batman Eternal, I'm still amazed that for
52 issues, yeah, issues good.
That they managed to hit more highs than lows.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good story, and I think you're going to see that do well as a full collection.
Yeah, absolutely. Invincible 118, the quarter issue. And it was very funny. It wasn't that great. But
that's
the
why first, it was only a quarter.
The first 8 pages were like recaps of the entire series up till then. And then it just kind of gave a story that didn't really go anywhere. It just... And it had this, you know, dramatic ending that you're kind of like, I don't care. It's like, oh, the baby stopped breathing. I don't care. So it just... Like, somebody even said
one
a quarter was too
feed.
Much for it. You know, it just... It wasn't a good issue. And it's not something that's going to drive people to get the next one. They're really... Yeah, it was... I've only ever read the first trade of Invincible, which wasn't that great. And then everybody's like, oh, no, well, everything happens in the second one where everything gets turned on its head. I'm like, sorry.
The first trade of Invincible is not that good, in my opinion.
It's
a
not.
Friend of mine
I never read more,
so. Has all the trades, and he was trying to get me on it, and it worked. I read through all of it up to, like, 110 or something.
Okay.
But that first trade, I read it, and I was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
The art's not great. The story is just, feels like it's just a parody of everything else.
Yep.
So, but I'll give it that. Like, once you get into... The second trade, or maybe the third trade, then it does start
to
find its footing.
That's too much to ask of people.
It is, but obviously people did it if they're 118 deep.
Yeah. Multiversity Ultra Comics.
Man, that was good too.
Yeah. Exactly what happened, I could not tell you. Even as I was reading it, I didn't know what was going on.
They fought the giant bat egg thing.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes, the bat egg.
There were cannibals who suddenly became good guys, kinda.
Uh huh.
Cannibals are people
the
too,
little
Josh.
Kids, yeah.
They
so it just, one of those, you just read and you're going, uh-huh, uh-huh.
The gem thing got kind of, like, graphically eaten out of his head.
Yeah.
And then it came back. Didn't it? Yeah. At the end of the book, he kind of had it again?
Kind of, yeah.
So, it was good.
You
but
were the
don't
star.
Ask me, yeah, don't ask me
not
to describe
it. Not you specifically,
it.
But like
no.
all of us. Not
Was it you?
Yeah, no.
Oh,
no.
Dave
is all described Future's End, but it was good. Future's End 47 was good. 48 was just one of those, wait, what? Huh? You know, everything you thought you knew was wrong type of thing. So
before we move on, we kind of like glossed over Multiversity.
Yes, I'm sorry.
But like, it's one of those books where, and we were joking about it, but it was really well written and.
Oh, yes.
Like touched on a lot of like different ideas that we've seen throughout the whole thing. And when this comes out in trade, I think it's going to be a phenomenal like.
Yeah. Trade I mean, each
buy.
Issue has been very good.
To the point where, I mean, we've all bought all the issues, but I think I'll still buy the trade just to have that collected.
I think you should get the deluxe hardcover.
I think you should stop it. Stop it. Just stop it.
I think
it.
You should just shut up.
Sorry.
I read New Avengers 32. Just kind of coming into it cold because I haven't been reading all of the 8 months later stuff. There was a lot going on in this and didn't really know what was going on. The end of the world was coming. But
and you feel fine?
I feel fine. But yeah, it's just one of those. Yeah, this is definitely coming to an end. Interesting. Good. But out there. We can never go home.
But I want to go home.
Why? Well, this podcast
is right. Apparently. Well, I have three more books to do. And then we can go home. Well, no, you still have to go.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
We've already talked about
really,
it.
Really neat book. It's from Black Mask, just this real little publisher. But just the neat idea where a couple people kind of, two high schoolers kind of discover.
Damage.
I know. He did it.
What did you do?
Or maybe that's when it fell on the floor.
Yeah, I was going to throw them all over the floor.
But two, like, high schoolers discover that they have powers. And hers are kind of pretty basic, like super strength or something like that. His is a little harder to quantify. And then basically there's a confrontation at the end. Something happens and basically
they
have
can never
to
go
leave
home.
And they can't go home. Just really neat book. I'm very intrigued to see where this is going. What?
Just keep going. You're supposed to keep going.
Wicked and Divine number 9. Very hard to explain what's going on in this book just on its own, but this series has really been interesting.
I didn't get to read the most recent one yet.
It's neat because it introduces and talks about the old lady, and then this whole time you don't realize they've been missing one, and she has finally found that one.
Well, you saw they're missing one because in the little dial in the beginning, that gem wasn't
but they've in this issue, they find the last one. And that's basically, you learn that's her job is to find all the people every 90 years.
And then kind of like govern.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I meant to read it last
but
night.
Really, but really good.
I was too tired and fell asleep.
I'm sorry. And Witches number 5. I don't know what's going on in this thing. This is bizarre.
It's very dark.
Yes. And I still have a problem with the art. So
I don't mind the art, but I will say this.
I like the art. I don't like the watercolor overlay. On every page.
I think this is the last single issue of this book I'm buying.
Okay.
Because I'm tired of every single issue. Because they have that all black back on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Every single issue, I get fingerprints on the back of it.
But you're going to lose all those little stories. And probably not going to collect those in the trade.
The essays?
Little text pieces. Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe they will.
Okay. This was a good one about his time at Disneyland.
I didn't read the essay yet. I'm just tired of the fingerprints.
I'm sorry.
Images quality is up and down on their paper and ink.
Sorry. Okay, that's all I had. But I did. Look how many I had. 12.
You didn't read all this.
Did.
Yeah, but you didn't talk about
it. He just looked online for a brief summary.
He's like, Google comic books last week. That's all he had to do. Just like, he read the
Wikipedia. Spend an hour on comic book roundup.
World's End is one that I read. I don't think anybody talked about it.
I read the last one.
I read.
But not having read the previous 20, kind of
threw
get
it.
Get on it, Colin. That's not anybody else's problem. But anyways, basically, we're coming to the end of the war.
What?
Darkseid was smacked down in the issue before this to Earth. And now they're going up against Darkseid. So
I want to see someone walk up to Darkseid and
just
slap,
slap
across the face.
They did. They're just like slap.
You know, that's the thing. He probably wouldn't expect that. Like some random person walked up.
There are a lot of moments in this in this issue where it kind of looks like that's what happened, because basically Supergirl or Power Girl goes after him as well as Val Zod, and they get into this battle, which Val Zod doesn't seem as powerful as
he's
kind of
deep,
but I kind of understand that because he hasn't really been experienced in anything because he was living in a bunker all the time. But Power Girl goes after him, and there was a line, and I don't think it's from this issue, but she was just like, Darkseid commented about super, he's like, I've taken on Superman before, and he's just like, well, she's like, well, I'm this world's Superman or something like that.
I think that was in this issue.
Yeah, I couldn't see it in here, but I think it was. But Val Zod was helping try to get the Polanski escape jets out of the little hole that Green Lantern was able to carve out of the shell that was overlaying the Earth of Apocalypse.
What they should have done was just have the X-Wing fighters take out the Star Destroyers.
Yeah. But I think, I like this issue. It had a lot of fighting between Power Girl and Darkseid.
I thought that was most of the issue was just that. Yeah,
and I loved it because she just...
She held her own.
I love this panel here where she takes her hand and just stabs him in the eye with it. And he's actually blinded in one eye. And he's not really going down. And basically the whole team shows up. Not all the team, but like Huntress. And
Flash.
Flash and Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
The Oliver Queen of Earth 2. Oh, Batman's there too. And they start, as I said... he's shooting arrows at Darkseid, like that's they're just bouncing off of him. But the end of the issue is what I'm really looking forward to for the next issue, is that Green Lantern is finally going to go after and fight Darkseid. So and he seems like
and
the
he's
most
not
powerful.
He's really at this point a White Lantern.
Basically,
they're not calling him that.
He's absorbed
but...
all the powers of the Avatar besides one, maybe.
No, he got them all. I think he got them all.
Wildcat's just depowered, right? Because she was there. The red.
Right, because they had to free the red in order to...
Which her name is a wildcat.
Yeah, it's what, Yolanda Martinez,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's her actual name she's using. But, oh, and they got the ship thing. It's like a multiverse of ships.
Yeah.
That they were able to use. So. It's a good book. Like, it really is. And now that it's finishing up, it's better when it comes out fully in trade. Earth 2 is out, so you start there and then go from there, and then when it starts to become World's End, pick up that trade. It's been a fun book, it really has. And it ties into so much that they have going on, including like what's coming out today with Convergence is supposed to have a lot of Earth 2. Thank you. But it was good.
You're not going to buy that after reading it?
I've already read it. I already bought it.
Okay. You can sell for more now that it was featured on the podcast.
Yeah.
as heard on.
Yeah.
As read by Adam.
Read by Adam. Go on.
Yeah. Red by Adam has a theme song. You done?
That's it. That's
okay.
It. That's, do you want a longer theme song? Or?
No, I just.
What
you
asking?
You
for
made your own theme song.
You're not paying
song.
For any of this.
Well, I'm paying for it.
Fins with benefits. You're
okay. Next coming next week. We're done. No, all new Hawkeye
that's
number
it.
Two.
Podcast over.
Ant-Man 4, Batman Arkham Knight 2. Number one sold really, really well. I sold out of that. Got more in. My nominee for late book of the week is Battlestar Galactica 6 that I ordered back in March 2014. Finally showing up. Should be awesome.
Why would you wait so long to get it?
Why did I wait so long to get it? No, they waited
that
long to
send it.
Why
wouldn't you put it in the shelves?
I know, you're right. Why? Or it hasn't shown up yet. Apparently each page is wood carved. So
I would buy that
book. We got Convergence number one. And then we start our convergences.
Does the whole shebang start next week?
Yes, the whole shebang starts next week.
Whoa.
Where you have Adam number one, Batgirl number one.
Not Adam. At-Home.
Batman.
You got a book? I got a book.
Batman and Robin.
You get a book. You get a book.
Harley Quinn, Justice League, Nightwing Oracle, Question, Speed Force, Superman, and Titans.
Oh.
Darth Vader 4. Adam, you excited? Looks like I'm getting
my... I just got three. Like,
not my
well,
fault.
You got time to read it.
It's every other week, baby. Keep up.
Well, you baby.
Deadpool 250.
$10 book.
Descender number two. That, free comic book day t-shirts are starting to come out. 4 points number one. I'm not sure what it is. But it's number one.
Highlight it.
Well, it's
three
number one.
Highlight stuff. You don't know what that is.
Howard the Duck number two. Imperium number 3, ooh, just for Josh.
Just only one just copy's coming in, and it's mine.
Well, no, actually.
Did you tell everybody with Howard the Duck, make sure they let you know? Like, because it didn't seem like anybody let you know the last time.
Hey, I had a solid, I think, 3 holds for it. So.
Yeah.
Jupiter's Circle number 1, which is the sequel to Jupiter's Legacy. Jupiter's Legacy trade
Jupiter's
also.
Jupiter's Legacy wrapped up?
Yeah.
How many issues?
5. But the first trade's coming out also at $9.99. We got Kaiju Max, which is from Oni. Oh, I don't remember how they described it, but yeah, it was like Godzillas and stuff living on this island, like training and stuff.
Like Godzillas and stuff, so yeah. Mothras yeah. and Rodans.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
that's the stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Legacy of stuff Luther Strode, number 1.
Yeah,
Masks, Volume 2, number 1. That's from Dynamite.
Carl's there?
No Cosby.
You were giggling while we were talking.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Max Ride First Flight. That's a James Patterson thing that Marvel's doing. Nameless number 3.
Well, you ought to give it a name. It'll sell better.
No, the character does not have a name.
He's never
going to
get through this
list. He is nameless. Old Wounds number 1. I don't know. It doesn't sound good, though.
No,
Reanimator number 1 by my friend Keith Davidson. Who's
he your friend?
He is. He's
does he know that?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Is he like your friend, like Jake Ellis is your friend?
No, he's the writer of the book.
Where's he at?
Where's he at in New Jersey?
We don't know.
He
never comes out.
Rebels number 1, that's the Brian Wood one from Dark Horse about the Revolutionary War.
Oh, okay.
Saga 27.
He just says it because okay.
I do. Savior number 1, that's another Image one where it's like a guy has powers but no memory.
And stuff.
Did I forget to highlight anything on this page? I don't think so.
It's stuff.
Southern Cross number 2.
We just know that's put in.
Spider-Woman number 6, new look Spider-Woman.
Sure, yeah, though.
A fourth print of Star Wars number 1. Crazy.
Will the covers for that be in the hardcover?
Yeah.
Or is it just...
I think they're just changing
colors. They're just changing colors.
Yeah, I think
okay.
they're just
dollar reprint
They
books.
Put, like, a bar on the bottom, and then they change the color of the bar. Yeah. That's what they do a lot of the Marvel.
Walking Dead 140, so hopefully we'll get more pirates.
R.
And just for Adam, William Shakespeare's Forsooth Phantom Menace.
That's
going to
be
cover.
Hilarious. I really want to see how the Jar Jar Binks is written in Shakespearean.
So that's all we got.
That's it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff coming.
Week.
Yeah, well, for this week. But next week, I don't think we'll do a big Convergence thing. I just remember when New 52 first came out, we actually had the podcast on Thursdays. Because we took that night to read everything so that we then talked about it, all the number ones a day later. But I don't think we'll
that
do
took
that.
A long time.
It did. That took a long time. It was just so dramatic. Maybe we'll do it with Secret Wars when all those number ones come
I mean,
out.
We could talk about ones that we liked, I guess, but not... I mean, we're going to do that anyways, because
we're
going to talk about
books number ones.
You better. I'm going to have them on the shelf. hater.
She Bang
starts next week.
That's a podcast.
There we go.
I like, and then it was She Bang. I don't know.
She Bang a podcast.
She Bang a podcast.
She Bang.
That's offensive, Pat.
Yeah, sorry, we're not changing the name. Fins with Benefits is still the winner. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe, super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the button. concerned with them other things. These rappers want to talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio with cerebral mind patterns and rhyme, because I rap about what I feel, though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. On these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like.